Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin, indeed, in for Maria Bailey, and I'm pleased to be with you today to bring you another terrific episode of Mom Talk Radio. Be sure to check out momtalkradio.com as well for this episode and past episodes, as well as information about all of our guests. And there's also the app. Don't forget about the app. We've had that on the site for a couple of years. That way you can listen to Mom Talk Radio on the go. And as we know, as busy moms, we're always on the go. I feel like these last couple of weeks have been running at about 180 miles an hour, not just 80. Two of my children had birthdays last week. One was a significant birthday in that my daughter turned 15. And whether it's the differences in children, which we all know if you have more than one, they're just, you never know, they're just so different. But whether it's boy or girl, I'm not sure. But my son, when he turned 15, he had to be dragged to the DMV more or less to get his permit and as well as his license 1 year later. My daughter, on the day of her birthday, we were lined up at the DMV right after school. She even begged me to pick her up early. She had all the paperwork. She had the tests done online. It was perfect. And by the way, FYI, moms and dads out there, make an appointment at your DMV. It was so easy online. We were in and out of there in 35 minutes. And I was shocked because typically the DMV has that cloud of, you know, despair and waiting and patience and, you know, draining your patience. So make your appointment. It made such a difference. So happy birthday to, and then my son turned 17 the next day. So I have an April 5th and April 6th baby. So it's been quite a busy week and month. And in a couple weeks, actually, we go on spring break and my son is going to go, I'm taking my son to Chicago to visit some schools. So really big milestones in our household. I'm going to have to try to keep from tearing up as I look at schools throughout the Midwest with him. We're heading into Chicago, and that's going to be our jumping point for three or four schools in that area. So before we get into our show guests, very quickly, I wanted to mention that Tasty Lee Tomatoes is a sponsor of our show. And at tasty-lee.com, that's where you'll find all kinds of information about these delicious, flavorful, healthy tomatoes, and they are vine ripened with up to 50% more lycopene than other brands. They are certified by the American Heart Association as a heart healthy checkmarked food. They taste like you grew them yourself. You'll buy the first for the healthy reasons, but you'll buy the second because they taste delicious. And as I've said before, our local Publix, which is the big grocery store chain in the Southeast, has these wonderful tomatoes, and we really do buy them just and eat them just whole as like my daughter eats them like an apple. And you can get online at tasty-lee.com, and that's tasty with an I, by the way. So it's tasty-lee.com, and they have fabulous recipes too. So they'll really make you hungry. So make sure you're ready to cook some delicious recipes when you get online and check it out. So again, that's tasty-lee.com. They are available at your favorite grocery store. And if not, ask for them by name. There is a store locator on the website as well. And we also want to give a shout out to two other sponsors, Premama. Go to drinkpremama.com to find out all the information about this fantastic line of products for prenatal care. It's a vitamin. It's basically complete maternity wellness, from fertility to prenatal vitamins to lactation supplements. They have digestive chews. And the other product is Mother Nurture. These are chocolate truffles and enhanced waters, and they are enhanced with vitamins as well. Go to madebymothernurture.com. Mother Nurture is available on Amazon. And when we come back, we're going to have a great lineup of guests. We're talking actually a lot about food today. So we do record the show during lunchtime, but we are going to be talking about Food from the Heart by Lauren Arboleda. I hope I got that right. And Dr. Neil Bernard is actually going to tell us why we need to put down the cheese and stop giving our kids cheese sticks. This is going to be a really interesting topic. I think Dr. Bernard is a well-renowned doctor and has done a lot of research on the unhealthy aspects of cheese. So we'll want to hear from him. And Wendy Cooper is going to be talking about digestive health, easygokids.com. And we'll also that'll be covering some constipation issues. So if your little one has issues with digestive health, then you'll want to listen to Ms. Cooper. And then we'll kick off the show. Actually, our first guest is going to be parenting lifestyle expert Jill Simonian. She is actually a regular contributor to CBS Los Angeles. So she's going to be talking about the Fab Mom's Guide. What does Fab stand for? F-A-B. Other than fabulous, we're going to let her tell us. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ms. Simonian.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
We kick off this great segment of Mom Talk Radio with Jill Simonian. She is a parenting lifestyle expert for TV and digital media. And as I said in the intro, she appears regularly on CBS Los Angeles, actually twice a week, every Wednesday night and early Friday mornings. And she discusses the latest and hottest parenting topics and other family lifestyle tips. So we want to know, Jill, what is the Fab Mom's Guide?
Hi, Maria. Yes, it is a big mystery. Okay, so Fab, I heard the little tease you did and I loved it. Fab, F-A-B, is a hidden acronym. It actually stands for Focused After Babies. And the Fab Mom's Guide is my brand new book, first book that actually just launched, that is a confidence building, resilience building, motivating guide for first time expecting moms. And I sort of like to say it's the book that I wanted to read when I was expecting my first baby because I was so scared about the whole process. So it's been really fun to be able to share it with brand new moms.
So it's just released book. Congratulations.
Thank
where
you.
Can,
yeah.
That's great. Congrats. And where can our listeners find it? And give us a little bit of what is it? Is it a how-to guide? Is it your personal stories, anecdotes?
Yeah,
what's the book's genre?
Well, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but it is a mixed bag. It's a lot of my personal stories, fear about becoming a mother, how I sort of, I say, bounced back my mind and spirit. There's a little bit of fitness and exercise body stuff in there, too. But it's a mixed bag of personal stories, celebrity stories, and parenting lessons that I learned with celebrity encounters when I was an entertainment journalist when I was pregnant for the first time. And it's also there's also a lot of lifestyle tips from different experts, pediatricians, food experts, nutritional experts, fitness experts. But it gets a new mom thinking about how she's going to do certain things. It's a how-to guide, to-do guide of over 50 wacky, fun, offbeat, semi-controversial things that I did in the first year of motherhood to keep me confident and motivated. You want a couple samples? I'll give you a couple
samples. Yes, sure. Yeah.
So one of the things I did, and this is probably the toughest part of the book that I wrote about, was I, straight off the bat, I made the choice early on to opt out of breastfeeding for a variety of reasons, and I talk about how that was my choice, and hopefully through my story. I've gotten a lot of feedback from other women who've read the book already saying, you know what, you telling this story made me more confident in certain choices that I am facing and that I am making. Another little tip I like to share is no matter what happens in the first year of motherhood, you have to commit to fixing your bed. And I know how trite that sounds with a newborn because no one wants to fix their bed and you're in this mush of like a new mom haze. But I talk about how there is how there's proven evidence behind fixing the task of fixing your bed every single day makes you feel accomplished and happier. No matter what happens throughout that day, you could have the worst day of upside down chaos with a newborn baby. But if you manage to fix your bed, it's going to set you on a track of feeling like, hey, I did something today. I did something. And that one task will lead to another task that you can
really
get that. And it builds your confidence that way. Yeah.
So take your mother's advice and the advice we now give it our kids, make your bed. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's funny. I mean, admittedly now, my kids are 6 and 5, my two daughters. And do I fix my bed every single day? No, it doesn't exactly happen. But in that first year, I think that if you set yourself up to do small daily goals every day, then you feel more confident in your parenting in the long run. And I that's what I talk about, the importance of the first year and staying focused after baby.
No doubt. And I love the word you use, resiliency, because we talk about it a lot when we're talking about parenting, raising our kids to be resilient. But moms need to be resilient, too. I mean, everybody needs to be resilient. That's one of the coping factors we need. But when you talk about that, you know, you said the mush, the hormonal hazy mess of newborn land. It's really important. So I love that word.
Thank you. Yeah, because we don't think, you know, it's like we have the babies. And I think the first time you have a baby, I mean, I don't know about you, but myself and all of my friends, you know, it's like you're blindsided by this lifestyle change that you didn't see coming, right? Because you know that you're preparing for baby and this is what I'm going to do with baby. And that, but the lifestyle change that happens to you, whether it's a shift in, you know, career or work or job, or even the shift, and I talk about this in my book too, even the shift that happens in the relationship between you and your spouse, there's a lot of different things that happen that you don't expect, and being resilient through those changes and just being aware that a lot of different areas of your life are going to move around that you may not have anticipated. I think that keeps us resilient, and, you know, knowing that they're coming and saying, okay, I'm going to deal with it this way, and I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to stick to it, and I'm not going to feel guilty, and I'm not going to look back. It sets you up for success as a parent, as a spouse, you know, after the babies come.
So you talk about, actually, when you say getting over the bump, are you talking about weight loss, getting your body back? What do you mean?
No. That's the thing. That's like the hidden little thing. Like the, you know, everyone thinks, oh, the fab mom's guide. They think, oh, it's to be fabulous. No, fab is focused after baby. And the book is more, I would say the book is 80% mind and spirit confidence after baby. Right. And maybe like 20% fitness, exercise, that type of a thing about, yeah. But the bump is that bumpy road of, oh my gosh, this new life is different than what I expected. And now I have changes to contend with. That's the bump.
Gotcha. Okay, wonderful. So again, the book is called The Fab Mom's Guide, How to Get Over the Bump and Bounce Back Fast After Baby. And it is available on at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And the website, which I just looked at, by the way, Jill, really well done website. Really, and I can see you've
got
fantastic sense of humor, some irreverent humor in there too, which is great. TheFabMom.com. We'll have that link on the website next week. And when we come back, we're joined by Courtney Ludwig, a mom of 3 6-year-old twins and a 21-year-old. She blogs at CocoandTwins.com. Stay with us.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio, the spotlight on moms. We talk to everyday moms who are dealing with the daily life and struggle of parenthood. I'm pleased to welcome Courtney Ludwig. She is the mom of 6-year-old twins and a 21-year-old. That's quite an age gap, Courtney. And she blogs at CocoandTwins.com and tweets Coco and Twins. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm a twin. I know what it's like. You know, I send flowers to my mother on my birthday. So that is quite a lot you've got on your plate. Tell us how you're dealing with the 3 kids and you've got quite the age gap, and then how your blog has evolved because of that.
Well, my oldest actually has been on his own for quite a while. He joined the Army and actually got married. And so he lives 2 hours away from us. Okay. And my twin boys, Sammy and Jason, actually turned 7 just a little over a month ago. And they're both in first grade. And people always ask, how do you do it all? And I mean, I have to. I've been a single mom since they were 6 months old. And you just figure out all kinds of different ways to accomplish everything you need to and still take time for yourself.
Great. That's great. So the blog, how did the blog evolve as part of your journey?
I have always had some depression and anxiety. And so the blog, being a single parent, was just kind of a way, you know, kind of like how you used to keep a diary. For me, it was just kind of an online journal. I recorded the good and the bad and the ugly. And as I was going through divorce and custody issues, it was also a way to vent some of that. But then to also share pictures so that both sides of the family could still kind of see what was going on as the kids grew up.
Okay, great. So you mentioned your parenting style is very different because of your depression, anxiety. Can you expound on that a little bit? And then I want to get into your semicolon project.
Okay. The main issue is that, sadly, my boys have had to learn that sometimes mommy is just more depressed or has less energy or less motivation sometimes. And, you know, there's good and bads to that. Obviously, it's good that they now understand and we can work together on that. And so things have just, I don't worry as much as the dishes got done or, you know, or if all the laundry got taken care of. Even more so than maybe a regular mom, because I know whatever energy I have to spend that day needs to be spent on my kids, and spent on the things that have to get done. Laundry and dishes can wait. But being there to pick up my kids when they get out of school or helping them do homework, that might be all the energy I have in one day. So that's where it gets directed, is towards them.
Wow, that's great. And you know what? You're just so smart to prioritize like that, because you're right. The laundry and the dishes will still be there. But kids are going to grow fast. Trust me. I have teenagers. It goes really fast.
Yeah. Well, then I was going to say, as far as the semicolon project, the girl that actually started that sadly did die of suicide just about a week or so ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So it's really, it's been a big part of my healing as far as my mental health has gone. And so it meant a lot to me. And it was very sad to hear that she actually passed away. Her depression got the best of her. And so it's just something I have. I am a tattooed mom. I have a lot of tattoos, and I do have the semicolon tattooed on my arm, entwined with things that stand for my children. And it's just a very big part of me to look down at my tattoo, at the semicolon, and just remember that my story is not over. I'm still working towards being the best version of myself and keeping my depression and anxiety in check, and to be there for my kids. That's what keeps me grounded. That's what keeps me going.
Wow, that's wonderful. So just give it a little more information about this. It's hashtag semicolon project. What is that? Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it was the girl that passed away, Amy, started it years ago. And a semicolon is when you could end a sentence, but you choose to keep going in writing.
So
it's to show solidarity for other people that may have attempted suicide or considered it, or friends that you know that have, just a way to kind of show support and show, you know, that you can get past that, that this today is not going to be the end of your story, that you are going to be able to keep going and move forward from this.
That's amazing. So semicolon project, it's a hashtag suicide prevention. That's a great, great story. And what a great project. So thank you so much for bringing it to our awareness today. And again, good luck. Courtney Ludwig, 3 children. Congratulations on your son's marriage and success in the military, by the way. And thank him for his service. And you blog at CocoAndTwins.com and tweet at CocoAndTwins. Thank you so much, Courtney. It's been a real pleasure to chat with you today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we come back, Lauren Arbelita is going to talk about her new project, which is called Food from the Heart. We'll be right back.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
And in this segment of Mom Talk Radio, we're going to switch topics to food. We're all foodies in this office, and I'm pleased to welcome Lauren Arbelita. She is the foodie as well, and she's a foodie. She loves food so much that she wrote a book called Pregnancy from the Heart and has a brand called Food from the Heart. Colombian-born and a Miami resident right down the street from us up in Pompano Beach. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Lauren.
Hi.
So you're a certified nutrition coach. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then your brand, Food from the Heart.
Okay, so as you mentioned, I'm the founder of Food from the Heart. That is my brand that I created back in 2013. And it started as a blog, but it soon grew like into offering so many more things because I'm passionate about food. And it's real food, the one that I inspire people to love to. So this real food is the one like that nourishes you from your inside out. And I say that cooking is the best, is like key to be healthy. So in my food blog, that it's now offering like nutrition coach, as you mentioned, and a lot of other things. I inspire people to fall in love with cooking. But the cooking I show, like through my Instagram, through my blog, and through my website, it's a very easy, healthy, and like a really enjoyable cooking done from the heart. That's what I always say.
Okay, so I'm not a cook, so you're saying that I will become a foodie. I'm a foodie, but not a cook. So I know that it doesn't. But
yes,
you want to make me fall in love with cooking.
Goal.
So tell me what's tell me how the book is going to do that.
Okay, so I mentioned a lot of tips that you have to be that you have to follow. For example, it's very key to use quality ingredients. So in the book, I also include a lot of tips for going to a grocery store. Selecting like the produce, looking for ingredients, reading the labels, that's so important. And I always mention that if you have quality products, like the food is going to taste amazing because it's all about the ingredients. So you don't have to be an expert or you have to chop like a chef. You don't have to be a professional chef. I'm not. I'm just passionate about cooking. And
right.
I do it every day. And it's all about having creativity and imagination and feeling passionate about it. Another tip that I always mention is, like, if you cook with your family, with your husband, like, if you involve your family in the process, it's going to be so much enjoyable. And everyone is going to love what they cook.
As your son grows, it's important that when the kids can get in the kitchen, that they have more buy-in to the food, and then they will eat it. And it sounds like with the way you're probably going to raise your son, he's going to eat anything and everything healthy and real, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. For example, when I became pregnant unexpectedly, and I had like a lot of ideas, and I'm always like entrepreneurial, and I'm looking for things to do all the time. So it was difficult for me to find out I was pregnant because that means I had to slow it down. But I try like to channel all those things, like all those emotions into something positive, and I started writing. And that was my goal, like to inspire other people, like to start from pregnancy, like giving your baby what they really need. From pregnancy, then you'll have an amazing pregnancy if you follow like a healthy lifestyle, healthy mind, healthy body. And then with your babies, like I see it on my baby. He's never been sick and he loves food. He's always in the kitchen with me.
So it's a cookbook with recipes in it. And you said there's also sections on, you know, how to choose the freshest, tastiest ingredients in the store. So what makes the book unique and different from other books, cookbooks?
This book, it's like a whole manual. That it's written in a more down-to-earth and less technical way. It's more like personal because I wanted people to feel inspired and really related. Because it happened to me when I found that I was pregnant. I was looking for pregnancy books, and it's so overwhelming. You know, you have a lot of things new. You don't know anything about it, and too much information is so overwhelming. So my goal was to have like one manual for everything. So I have tips trimester by trimester. I also include the fertility diet, so for people starting from zero. I have what you mentioned about going to a grocery store, selecting products, reading labels, and also a lot of tips on how to cook strategically so you can transform dishes from one to the other. So that's like the whole idea
with
the book. Yeah, because I have recipes that connect one to the other. So if you cook more rice with this, you can use it in that other recipe. And I also included a lot of yoga positions to cure like aches during pregnancy, workouts, inspiration for the baby shower, for the nursery. So it's like a whole manual that you will truly feel related to because it's like very down to earth. You know, it's like kind of in a diary. And I'm sure like everyone that has read it, they love it. And I'm so happy about it because that was like my mission, to make this process the best and to really enjoy it. The process of
that's practice. Wonderful. Wow. It sounds like you cover a lot in this book. So that's wonderful.
Yes. No, you have no idea. It took me 2 years.
That's great. That's not long, really. I've heard people that say it took me years and years to write a book. So that's wonderful. Your book is available on Amazon, and your website is fftmiami.com/book. That's short for Food From The Heart. Miami.com. So it's fftmiami.com, and again at Amazon. And congratulations on the book and the baby. How old is the baby?
Thank you, Miriam. He's 13 months now, and he's walking and grabbing everything and destroying all my house.
Busy. Busy. Time to put all the plastic containers in the bottom drawer of the kitchen, so while you're cooking, he can just play with the plastic and throw them in and out of the drawer. That's what I used to do with my kids.
Exactly. Thanks for the tip. Yeah, but the thing is that I have a lot of plates and things that can be broken, but...
Yeah, get it all out. Pull it up. Yeah. So congratulations. That's a busy age. Too fun, though. Oh, goodness. I can't wait to hear from you again on the success of the book as well. So thank you so much for joining us, Lauren. Again, it's Food From The Heart. FFTHMiami.com. And when we come back, we're going to keep the topic on food and talk to Dr. Neil Bernard. He's going to be talking about his book called The Cheese Trap. Find out what that's about right after this.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
This segment is one I'm very interested in. We're talking to Dr. Neil Barnard. He is the author of The Cheese Trap. He is a doctor and president and founder of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a nonprofit based in Washington, D.C. Very knowledgeable, very widely published expert on the subject. Let's talk about it. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Barnard.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Cheese. We're addicted, right?
A lot of people are. And it turns out that there are really three things to know about it. One is that the addiction, if I can use that word, or the habit forming.
Loosely, we'll use it.
Yeah. It turns out that it may not be so loose. It may be a real thing. In other words, we've figured out what's happening in the brain, what cheese does to the brain, and it's quite surprising. Number two, there are hormones in cheese that might be affecting our bodies, and there are other physical effects that nobody ever connected with it. And the third thing is it's fattening. So all of these things are troubling in their own way, but I wouldn't have written The Cheese Trap if I didn't have a better idea. And so that's what there are a lot of ways to replace this in our lives that are fun, healthful, and more exciting than that lump of yellow stuff in the fridge.
I've heard this before, like, stop eating cheese. You don't need it. You can get your calcium from other sources, the healthier sources. And now you're the expert. You've published more than 70 clinical research studies about this and other topics and dietary reviews. So the research is, you've got proven research that says this is not good for you.
Yeah. And maybe.
And our kids.
Maybe to start with just some kind of basic but surprising things. The first thing, obviously, milk comes from a cow. The cow, you may not realize, is pregnant most of the time. And the reason for that is obviously no mammal will give milk at all until the mammal has given birth. That's true of humans. It's true of cows. So the dairies always artificially inseminate their cows annually, up until about age four, at which point the cows are not as productive as they should be, and they are shipped off to slaughter, and there are some kind of creepy issues about all of that. But back on the biology aspects of it, the cows are impregnated every year. They are pregnant for about 9 months, not much different from a human pregnancy. But here's why that matters. For 9 months out of every 12, the dairy cows are pregnant. Pregnant animals create a lot of estrogen, female sex hormone. It gets in the milk. When the milk is turned into cheese, the fats in it are concentrated. So cheese is 70% fat. The hormones go along with the milk. They go along with the fat. And up until recently, we thought, yes, there are female sex hormones in milk, and they're only traces. And yes, they're concentrated a little bit more in cheese, but none of this could really matter. However, researchers went into a fertility clinic in Rochester, New York, and they looked at the men, for starters, And it turned out that the men who ate the most cheese had the worst fertility. Specifically, their morphology of sperm was reduced and their it was impaired, and their just absolute sperm counts were lower compared to men who didn't eat this stuff. And so that started people thinking, okay, pregnant cows make estrogen. A guy is eating that every time he has another slice of pizza.
Right.
And one slice is not much, but your average American consumes 35 pounds of cheese every year.
But then
when the story gets worrisome, is researchers have looked at women who had had breast cancer in the past, because we're really thinking about their hormone function, because you do not want anything that causes that cancer to come back. It turns out that the women who consume the most cheese and other high-fat dairy products, because, again, the fat is where the hormones travel with, the women who consume the most cheese and other fatty products had a 49% higher risk of mortality compared to the women who generally avoided these. So, again, we're thinking, all right, these hormones aren't just trivial. It seems like it's an issue. And then lastly, researchers have looked at women after the age of menopause, when your body says, okay, this is
we're done.
This is not a time for me to have a toddler on my
kitchen
floor.
The factory's closing.
yes, exactly. Well, menopause is not just some foolish idea that nature had. It's a good idea for our hormones to calm down, because as we learn from hormone replacement, if you start fooling around with that system, your risk of hormone-related cancers is higher. Well, it turns out that you see the same pattern. After menopause, when you really shouldn't have much estrogen in your blood, the women who are consuming milk and milk products have more estrogen circulating in their blood minute by minute compared to others. I am quite prepared to believe that the amounts of hormones in any given glass of milk or slice of cheese is quite small. But somehow, the cumulative effect of it seems to be, at least what we're worried about, is that it affects fertility in men and probably also in women, that it affects hormone-related function. I'm speaking of cancer risk. But then we're starting to think, why are we having children hit puberty earlier and earlier and earlier? If you went back to the mid-1800s, women or young girls, they weren't getting their period at 11 or 12 or 13. It was around 17, 18, 19. And, of course, we have forgotten that today. But if you think about it, when a girl is 11, she might be sexually mature. She is not psychologically mature enough to raise a baby. This is out of sync, and I am going to suggest that nature never had that in mind, that the foods kids get accustomed to affect their hormones so that they are maturing early and having lots of risks, and that if you want to look at one food that could be really contributing to it, look at the product that comes from a pregnant cow.
So your website is called thecheesetrap.org. The book is, again, called The Cheese Trap. It's available absolutely everywhere, as you said. I'm sure it's on Amazon and all the online booksellers. Just really quick, we have to start the wrap, and I want to have you back on because I think you've just got so much information. A couple of tips on what we can replace it with in terms of the calcium content.
Yeah, well, keep in mind the cow doesn't make calcium. Calcium comes from green vegetables. So if you eat broccoli and kale and collards, you'll get it. A cow eats grass and gets calcium, and that's the only reason they have calcium.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
You don't need that. And you're better off without the, believe it or not, 60,000 calories worth of cheese that Americans eat on average every year. If you set that aside, you're going to slim down, you're going to feel better. If you have migraines or arthritis or skin conditions, those things get better. It's the easiest way to lose weight.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Barnard. Again, we'll have information about your book and the website on Mom Talk Radio next week. And when we come back after this short break, we're joined by Wendy Cooper. She is a self-taught and self-made entrepreneur. We're going to be talking about digestive issues. It's just all along the same track. We'll be right back.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
We close out this fantastic episode of Mom Talk Radio with our guest, Wendy Cooper, a self-taught and self-made entrepreneur for the past 20 years. She's also an award-winning television commercial director, writer, producer, 15 Telly Awards, very, very interesting and fascinating with her. But this is the reason why we're talking to her. We're going to be talking about potty talk. Sometimes we tell our kids not to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it because it's important. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Wendy.
Hey, thank you, Mary. Good to be here.
You launched Easy Go Pro in 2013, and this is adult toilet posture that elevates the feet. And we were talking about this in the office a few weeks ago. Fascinating, because it solves the problem of it's digestive health, basically. And so you branched off into what with after Easy Go Pro?
So Easy Go Pro is a toilet stool. There's an ergonomic toilet stool that helps people elevate their feet in order to be in the correct position for proper elimination. Mostly it was designed for adults because it was a big trend happening a few years ago. As I went through the whole process of Easy Go Pro, I started to really realize that there was a hole not being filled, and that was for children. Childhood constipation, because 60% of all childhood constipation is caused by dangling feet syndrome. Now, when I say dangling feet, that's post potty training. Most parents forget, they're so happy that their kid is potty trained that they really forget that their child is in extreme discomfort on the toilet with their feet dangling, and thus not allowing them to have a platform or have support to bear down and actually push the stool properly out of their system. What happens, Mary, is that children's colons are still developing as they're 3 years old, 4 years old, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They are still in the maturing process. So if a child becomes constipated when they're young, that colon starts to enlarge, and then it grows and matures enlarged. More and more stool actually gets stuck in the colon, and children start to go to school with baseball size, you know, stools in their colon, which obviously is making it hard for them to do anything, play, learn, thrive whatsoever. And then it does cause seepage, and parents are just miserable. Kids are even more miserable. So the Easy Go Kids toilet stool was like a natural progression to bring awareness to parents that, hey, it's great for you guys to be buying your toilet stools and elevating your feet, but what about your kids? Children really need to support their feet from not stop from dangling their feet off of a toilet from the ages 3 all the way up until adulthood, which is when they start to use a toilet stool for elevating their feet and proper elimination.
We were talking about that in the office. I had that issue with one of my children. Potty training was difficult, and holding it, and you know, and yes, that's different. And I know the constipation is not quite the same, but it then evolved into that constipation, and it was it was very difficult. And one of the ladies in the office has the same issue with her 4-year-old. So it is, it's very, very common.
60% of all childhood constipation is caused by dangling feet syndrome, period. 60% right. Is caused by that. So you can imagine as an adult, go in, sit on the toilet, lift your feet off of the ground, and you just try to find a way to bear down and push a stool out. And now we're talking about a child that is holding on for dear life. They don't want to fall in the toilet. They maybe have a little donut that keeps their little butts from falling in. I can remember falling in the toilet when I was a young kid. Nothing has changed, right? Everything is the same. You know, I have a son, but when he was younger, his colon became so extremely enlarged that his rectum would prolapse. It would come out with the stool. And these are the things that parents are faced with. You know, here's my little boy's little rectum coming out every time he had a bowel movement.
Ugh,
or
goodness.
I had to give, you know, enemas, little baby enemas, and then it grew to, you know, like little kid enemas. And it is a miserable circumstance. And all it takes is adding a toilet stool. Pediatricians will say, put a toilet stool there for your kids to rest their feet on. But Easy Go Kids is the first toilet stool that's compact and designed specifically for the toilet. So it stores under the toilet. It's the right height. It's 7.5 inches. It comes in fun colors for kids. It gives the ownership to the child as they get past potty training to have something that isn't a Thomas the Tank Train, you know, toilet stool. Makes them feel grown up, right? But, you know, it's just a necessary household item that every family should have a toilet stool in every bathroom.
And it's easygokids.com, and you are offering a discount of 15% on your website for one of these stools for kids.
All you have to do is put in Mom Talk, and that will give you that discount code. And there's other discount codes. So if they pop up, please take advantage of whatever there is popping up on the website at that point.
Congratulations. Very successful products, both of them. And thank you so much much, everyone, for listening to this episode of Mom Talk Radio. Again, check out momtalkradio.com and Mom Talk Radio on Facebook for information about today's show and past shows. And Maria Bailey will be back behind the mic next week. Have a wonderful week.